Hello, you wonderful, wonderful people. You have found the ProWrestling.net ROH audio review with me, Hayden Gleed, and I'm not joined by Darren Guttridge. He's currently in Rome in Italy. I know, I can hear you going, ooh. He's currently there with his girlfriend. And from the looks of it on Twitter, he's having a really, really good time. I'm not in the slightest bit jealous. Okay, maybe just a little. But yeah, I was going to use this opportunity with me on my own to have a go at Darren, have a go at England, have a go at Darren's football team. But if I'm being quite honest, Darren's actually quite a nice guy, so I'd feel awful doing it behind his back. So yeah, I'll just wait until next week when I'm sure you'll come back with some horrible things to say about the Welsh, about me, and about everything really. I'm going to be reviewing the show that broadcasted on the Sinclair Broadcasting Network on the weekend of the 10th and 11th of September 2016. Was on the Fight TV app on the 12th of September 2016 and on Comet TV on the 14th of September 2016. That's a lot of different places. So the show, ROH, how was it this week? When I was speaking to Darren last week on our audio, which you can check out, I used one word, and that was average. This week, if I'm going to use a single word, it would be solid. Everything had a purpose. Everything seemed to be building towards things. It wasn't a perfect show by any means, and the actual action, although one match was pretty good, it never really got above pretty good. The other match was more of a multiple angle, as it were, which we'll get into. So the show opened with the recap of the Bullet Club coming out last week and Adam Cole with his Adam Cole baby story time, blah, 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 basically boasting. And then we got the setup for Jay Lethal standing on the stage and Naito and Evil joining him and the six-man tag being booked for this week's show. So back in the arena, Kevin Kelly and Nigel McGuinness were on commentary. There you go, Darren. Promised I would do it. They welcomed us to the show and out came Adam Cole, followed by Adam Page and Tamahachi. Lethal was then introduced, as well as Evil and Naito. I have to say, I did really like the way that Jay Lethal came out. He basically showed great intensity. He was being a babyface. He was playing to the crowd, but he wasn't smiling as if, like, say for example, New Day, who don't really sell that they're upset about anything, whereas you could see just in the facials and especially the eyes how upset Jay Lethal was, and he was out there to get a measure of revenge. I did notice that, again, if anyone was listening to the audio last week with me and Darren, I did make fun of Kevin Kelly's suit, and I did notice at this point that he was still wearing it. Obviously, it was the same taping, so he wasn't going to change it, but if you want to see what I mean about his suit, go and watch the show. So we had the first match of the night, which was Adam Cole, Adam Page, and Tamahashi against Evil, Jay Lethal, and Naito. Basically, the early part of this match was more a case of a setup for what happened later on. It was basically Adam Cole trying to avoid Jay Lethal at all costs. So any time that Adam Cole got into the ring, Jay Lethal begged to be tagged in. And then when he was tagged in, Adam Cole would either run away or you would just instantly tag out. This played into what happened because after a few minutes of action, Jay Lethal quite forcefully tagged himself in on Naito. He basically slapped his back quite hard, and Naito basically didn't look particularly pleased at this. And Jay Lethal jumped in the ring, and once again, Adam Cole ran away. The commentators put over the fact that Jay Lethal then tagged back out, And basically said that Jay Lethal wasn't interested in taking on anyone else in the Bullet Club. He just wanted Adam Cole. It was at this around about this point that Naito basically tried to calm down Jay Lethal, because Jay Lethal was getting hotter and hotter, and he was basically indicating that he just needs to calm down. Adam Cole eventually ended up back in the ring, and Naito had him in an armbar, took him towards the corner with Lethal, and as Lethal went to tag in, Naito moved his hand mockingly. This then followed Jay Lethal eventually getting a tag in, and Naito not looking pleased. He stood at ringside with Evil, who didn't really look like he wanted to be there. Lethal then went to tag out after being beaten down by the heels, and Naito jumped off the apron, essentially the way that you would expect a heel to do. They then walked up the ramp, leaving Lethal to face all three members of the Bullet Club all on his own. After the commercial, Michael Elgin's music played. Now, Darren did joke last week that he feared that Michael Elgin was going to come out and be one of Jay Lethal's friends last week, and lo and behold, this week, Darren got his wish. Michael Elgin comes to the ring and stood in the babyface corner and held the tag rope. And Nigel McGuinness, who is the matchmaker of ROH, basically went, "Yeah, all right. We'll get to that in a minute." Lethal eventually got the hot tag to Michael Elgin, who came in and hit a couple of impressive power moves, including, I believe it was Adam Page and Tamahashi that he had on both shoulders, and slammed them down to the mat. Eventually, the Bullet Club, who still had a 3-on-2 advantage, took over, and Kyle O'Reilly's music played, and he charged down to the ring. Again, he went to the babyface corner, grabbed the tag rope, and Nigel McGuinness went, "Yeah, all right." We'll get to that. Eventually, Kyle O'Reilly and Adam Cole faced off in the middle of the ring and started throwing forearm shots at each other before grabbing each other and just punching the absolute hell out of each other. There was a really cool spot, which I really liked, where Kyle O'Reilly was on his knees mid-ring. Adam Cole went for the super kick into the face, but Kyle O'Reilly held it, and he held it in such a way that it looked like he literally held his leg about an inch away from his face, and it was just a really cool visual. Eventually, Lethal tagged back into the match and hit the Lethal Injection on Tamahashi for the 1-2-3. So your winners are the three men of Jay Lethal, Michael Elgin, and Kyle O'Reilly. Two men who weren't even in the match that was signed. This match went about 18 minutes. As I said, the action was okay, but it was more a match that was an angle, essentially, that looks like it's set up a feud between Jay Lethal and Naito, if not Evil as well. It furthered the Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly feud, which I believe is going to sort of headline the final pay-per-view of the year. And it also got Adam Cole and Michael Elgin in the same ring, who are facing each other at All-Star Extravaganza. I actually found this out last week by looking at the ROH website. I texted Darren and said, "Did you know Michael Elgin's in the main event?" And the response I got was, "Why?" So, yeah, I don't think Darren's particularly happy about that. I did have an issue with the with Michael Elgin and Kyle O'Reilly coming down and Nigel McGuinness just going, "Yeah, okay." It's not necessarily that I think it was a bad thing, because I do like the fact that they managed to further a lot of different storylines within the context of 20 minutes of wrestling action. I did like that. But if you're going to do something like this, it's a complete blatant, I don't know if I'm going to sound too old school there here, but it's a complete disregard of the rules of a wrestling match, essentially. If you sign a match of three men on each team, and two of those men go, then it's tough luck on the one person left. You know, that to me, that's the logical thing to do. What I would have liked is Nigel McGuinness to actually sort of explain why he was okay with this. I did try and think of something he could have said that would have made sense of this, and I couldn't. So in which case, if there was no proper explanation, then why go there? It's me being nitpicky in a way, but I just wish there'd been some sort of explanation as to why Nigel McGuinness was happy with this. I do wish that Adam Cole, as much as I like him, and anyone who listens to my podcast know that I do tend to go Adam Cole, baby, quite a lot. But as a heel, I just think that pandering to the crowd, which is what he did in this match, just stand mid-ring and just go Adam Cole, baby, the whole crowd chant along with him. And I just think that if they want him to be a heel, if they want him to be portrayed as a bad guy, then he's got to stop pandering to the crowd. Again, I think that ROH have basically said that there are no babyface and heels, and they're just going for the logic of as long as someone's getting a reaction, that's all that matters. But I still contend that even in 2016, you need to have someone to like and someone to hate to be really fully invested in a feud and to really get emotionally invested in a feud. For example, you know, if Adam Cole was the most devious heel, the most hated heel in the company, and he was going up against the very much liked Kyle O'Reilly, who has been given opportunities but never really had a clean opportunity to win the ROH title. If you've got that scenario and Kyle O'Reilly eventually comes out on top and wins the title, if people hate the person that he's beat, not only have they got the feeling of elation for Kyle O'Reilly, this guy that they really like eventually reaching the pinnacle, but they've also got that little bit of, yeah, you got him, you got that guy that I can't stand as well. And I still think that's important in wrestling. I don't know if it's because I'm too old school, if I'm too old, but that's just my thoughts on this. They then went to a Bobby Fish promo, which was a promo / video package, and I really, really liked this. It had Bobby Fish talking about how important the TV title was to him, how important the TV title is full stop. He's putting over everyone that he's beaten, and putting over his opponent in this match, which was Shibata. So, with his words and with the video being spliced in between of showing highlights of Shibata being brutal, but at the same time Bobby Fish coming out on top against his opponents with a TV title, it just made the main event just feel very important, and I really quite liked that. I also did like the fact, and I should have mentioned this at the top, the fact that the TV title was the main event, because that is what, for me, what a TV title is. It's basically should be your main event on, you know, at least one in every three or four shows, because it's the TV title. That's the whole point of it. And it's not usually the case. It's usually either the opener or the middle match. I can't even remember when the last time the TV title was defended as the main event. I'm sure it happened quite recently, but it wasn't that recent that it stuck in my memory, if you know what I mean. And they really did do a good job of building up how important this was, how big a match this is going to be, and why to stick around. And again, it was good build, and I really quite liked this. To be honest, during the whole of this show, they did a good job of hyping things. We've spoken before about the fact that they haven't really built up their pay-per-views in the past, and that is one of the biggest failings of ROH. But you know, I think September 30th is All Star Extravaganza, and they've already built half the card already, and they've already built feuds in for those actual matches. So, you know, at the moment they're getting a solid B for the build to this pay-per-view, and I'm quite pleased, because at the moment you've got the main event, which seems slightly out of place, but at the same time it's Adam Cole against Michael Elgin. We all know Adam Cole's going to win that. You've also got the ladder match with the Addiction against the Young Bucks. and the Motor City Machine Guns, which are building as the Ladder War 6, which, again, they're giving a lot of time to, and they're building up nicely to it. There are a few other matches, but I'll speak about them later on. We went back to ringside, where Jay Lethal was still sort of hanging around and pacing back and forth, looking absolutely furious. He cut a briefish promo talking about how it's bad enough that he's got to watch his back for his enemies, let alone having to watch his back for his so-called friends. He basically said that he's going to get his hands on Naito one way or another pretty soon. Nigel McGuinness grabbed the microphone and basically said, if you want him, you've got him. It'd be Jay Lethal against Naito at All-Star Extravaganza. He did finish off his promo by saying, just remember, though, remember what happened the last time you demanded a match at a pay-per-view. Look what happened. Obviously referencing what happened with Adam Cole. This is the good McGuinness. This is the subtle, but at the same time making a good point, Nigel McGuinness. But as for the actual match, again, at least they've given it some juice. I do think it just seemed a bit quick that one week, I've got a friend in Naito, and then the week after, he's turned on him. It just feels that there was a couple of steps missing from the feud. But at the same time, this is not a top of the card match, despite the fact Jay Lethal's in it. It is going to be a mid card match, so I haven't got much issue with it. And so we come to the main event already. They really made this feel like a big time event. They had the introductions of Shibata and Bobby Fish. They got in the ring, and Bobby Cruz is there to make the formal introductions. There was some nice fancy lighting, which again is a nice production value that ROH don't always throw in, but it just made the main event feel important. And again, I really liked that. I'm not going to go through everything that happened in this match, because it was a really good match. As I said at the beginning of the show, pretty good match. So I wouldn't necessarily go out your way to watch it, but at the same time, if you watch it, you're not going to be too disappointed. The match did start off slightly slow, and they were trading submission holds and working over each other's leg, which basically would play into the rest of the match, where when one of the guys was on offense, they were essentially targeting the knee of the their opposition. About halfway through the match, Prince Nana came down, got into commentary, and was basically talking smack about the fact that it doesn't matter who's going to win, Donovan Dijak is going to beat whoever is the champion at All-Star Extravaganza. Again, building a little bit extra to the pay-per-view. Again, I like that. Another thing I quite liked about this, and again, this is going to make me sound so old school, but a lot of the times these days, and especially in Ring of Honor, there's, not to sound too Jim Ross about this, but there's a lot of no-selling and a lot of moves that get hit and then the guys are back on their feet within a matter of seconds. There was a couple of times this happened during the match with Shibata where, for example, there was one time when Bobby Fish threw a suplex on Shibata, who took the bump and then got straight back up and basically charged that Bobby Fish and hit a suplex of his own. Now, usually I would be rolling my eyes at this, but the way that Shibata did it, in all fairness, Nigel McGuinness on commentary basically said that it was the adrenaline, and again, that's usually the line that would get me to roll my eyes, but the way that Shibata did it was he got straight back up. You could see in his face he was angry. It wasn't a case of, you know, there was this blankness. He was angry, and he threw the suplex, and then he sold the original suplex, so it kind of fit the narrative that Nigel McGuinness was saying. So I like that, because it made it feel more real. You know, if someone hits you, the adrenaline sort of catches you and you sort of swing back, but then all of a sudden the pain starts coming through and you'll probably sell it at that point then, and I quite like that. As always seems to be the case when I praise Nigel McGuinness, I do need to point out something which did really annoy me. Bobby Fish was in the corner and Shibata hit a drop kick into his chest. Nigel McGuinness then, for some unknown reason, started talking about head injuries and concussions, well, implying concussions, and basically saying that you got hit in the head when you clearly got hit in the chest. And it's just little things like that which take away the credibility of Nigel McGuinness, which is a shame, because I do think there's a lot that he can bring, especially with his ability that he had in the ring and his experience, but it just doesn't translate as a color commentator, and it's such a shame. Again, the both men were trading submissions, and the finish came when they were both trying to hit or trying to apply different submission holds, and at one point they both had a really painful, I don't even know what the actual holds were called, but they both were holding each other's ankles at strange angles, and it, in a sort of semi-comical, semi-sort of believable spot, they were both trying to wrench on the ankle while at the same time trying to reach the ropes to try to break the hold. It was impressive. But yeah, the finish came when there was, again, training submissions, and Bobby Fish caught Shibata, I suppose, sort of MMA style, in terms of as Shibata was trying to have a apply a hold, Fish managed to use his leverage to get his full weight on Shibata, and Shibata couldn't move, so he was pinned for the 1-2-3, and it was a very good visual. After the match, both men went to the outside and started to jaw at each other, and it appeared that they were implying that they wanted to do this one more time. With all this going on, Dijak was seen stood on the stage with Prince Nana and was just smirking and laughing to himself. Yeah, as I said, it was a pretty good match. I did enjoy it. I do like the fact that I know Jason Powell has made note of the fact that he wishes that they would pick a direction with Bobby Fish, whether he's a babyface or a heel. And although I agree with that, as I made clear when I was talking about Adam Cole, I do believe that even now there should be strong babyface and strong heels in wrestling. But I do like the fact, I will give ROH credit with the fact that they have given Bobby Fish this strong personality. Okay, some of you might like him, some of you might not like him. I know Darren's not a particularly big fan of Bobby Fish, and I'm warming to him. But they have at least made the attempt to give him personality outside of what we knew of him as just a member of Red Dragon. So I do give him credit for that. To finish the show, Nigel McGuinness announced, and again, I wish Darren was here, because I can imagine what his reaction will be when he sees this. I'm very tempted to actually tweet him while he's in Rome just to make his holiday that just a little bit sweeter. But Nigel McGuinness announced that Steve Corino's suspension is up, and he'll be back on commentary next week. Kevin Kelly, and it was probably just a Freudian slip, but Kevin Kelly said, thank goodness. he's probably just in terms of he's looking forward to be with Corino, but I took it in terms of, thank goodness, Nigel McGuinness is going to not be sat next to me anymore. What I will say as a note of caution, for lack of a better word, I'm expecting some form of broken Steve Corino next week, and I really hope I'm wrong. I do have the suspicion that, considering the dark path that they're taking with Corino, Whitmer, Martinez and Sullivan, that they are possibly going to do some sort of Final Deletion / Lucha Underground type sort of video / movie, whatever you want to call it. I do fear that. I really do fear that. But we'll talk about that some other time. As I said, it's one of those shows which was solid. It's difficult for me to take a step back from this, but I would basically say that even if you're not watching ROH on a regular basis, you're not going to be lost watching this. And in fact, you'd probably be a bit excited about the directions that they go in for the pay-per-view, and quite curious to find out what happens at the pay-per-view, which essentially that's what these TV shows are about. So ROH did a decent job in that. As I said, you won't be lost. The video packages were well done for both matches, and basically giving you a reason as to why these matches are happening, which doesn't always happen with ROH. So again, a solid B, I would say, for this entire show. So that's it from me. As always, you can find me on Twitter at Hayden Gleeds. I'll be back next week with my co-host Darren Gutteridge. We're probably going to be doing a Progress Wrestling podcast again next week. If you didn't catch it, last Saturday I think it was, Progress Chapter 33 Malice in Wonderland podcast went up. I think it went an hour and 5 minutes, something like that. So it's a good hefty listen, but I think you'll enjoy it. So until next week, I will speak to you then.